morning. It's good to be able to come together to worship the Lord this morning. It's good to be able to come out, and hopefully we are encouraged and built up by our spiritual activities here today. It's good to see those who are with us this morning. We appreciate any who are visiting. We're always glad to have our own part of our own family here and others. And we hope that our time spent this morning in worship to God will be beneficial. The songs that we sang this morning, all of them had to do with glorifying God in some way or another. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning in the scripture reading that we had there. The very next verse in Matthew 5 verse 16, even so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This is probably one of the most well-known portions of the Sermon on the Mount. And the statement, glorify your Father who is in heaven, goes along with the songs that we sang this morning. And I've been thinking about this topic lately with regard to our current culture and the world that we live in. If you stop and think about it, much of it has to do with focusing attention on ourselves. It's all about me. Look at me. I'm going to advertise myself. I'm going to get people to look at me. How many likes am I getting? How many comments am I getting? How many applauses am I getting? And we live in a world where there's a lot of narcissism, where people are just stuck on themselves. And much of what we do focuses on how can I get attention? Did I get any attention today? And I just wanted to remind us that our life as a Christian is actually the opposite. We're supposed to be getting people to look at God, not ourselves. And when I think of the Sermon on the Mount, and I think of this statement, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, I can't think of a better example of who did this in their life than the Apostle Paul. So this morning, I want to look at a statement, if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 24. Just six words, a short verse, just six words. And they glorified God in me. I want us to think this morning about how that we can live our lives where we're not bringing attention to ourselves, but when people look at us, we can glorify God. We can point them into the direction of God by what we're saying and by what we're doing and by how we're living. Paul didn't say, they glorified me. He said, they glorified God in me. There's a big difference. And there's nothing wrong in our social media world and other things. There's nothing wrong with letting people know about what we're doing in our life. I'm just talking about being very careful with regard to our motive and our needs and our wants. Much of it today is how much attention have I been given today? I post something so that I can get attention. Hey, look at me. And again, it's harmless if we're just simply informing people or sharing some things. I'm not trying to judge anybody's motives. But much in our culture is way beyond that. It's a stuck on me mentality. And when I read this verse recently, I thought, you know, I want to remind our brethren of glorifying God. Yes, they see things in me, but ultimately they're looking past me to God. And so this morning, we're going to go down through this text and we're going to see what it was that Paul did, that brethren saw in him that glorified God. when you look at the first two chapters of the book of Galatians, you're looking at Paul's defense of his apostleship. The book of Galatians has six chapters, and it divides nicely into three chapters apiece. It divides into three sections of two chapters apiece. The first two chapters, Paul is primarily defending his apostleship against false teachers who have come into the churches of Galatia, and they are saying that Paul, you don't need to listen to Paul, you need to listen to us, and so he defends his apostleship. In chapters, that's chapters 1 and 2. In chapters 3 and 4, he discusses the doctrine of justification by faith and not by works of the law. Because some of these individuals were pushing that you had to observe the old law in order to be saved. So he discusses that doctrine of the passing of the old law and how that we are saved by justification by faith in Christ Jesus. And then in chapters 5 and 6, he closes with a practical application of the conduct of all of this in our life. We need to be walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So practical Christian daily living in chapters 5 and 6. This statement in chapter 1 and verse 24 comes in the section where Paul is defending his apostleship. And he's talking about the change that has been made in his life. And he tells them of his conversion, he tells them of the changes that have been made in his life, and brethren glorified God. And we're going to look at those things this morning that he did, and we're going to say to ourselves, I want to be doing these same things. It's not about me. When I get up and go to work and go to school and when I interact with my neighbors, it's not about me. It's about people looking at me and I am saying and doing something to glorify God and get them to look at God. It's not about me. You know, how we live one way or the other can bring glory to God or not. Paul said that God was glorified. And that's what's important. And how we live, one way or the other, can either bring glory to God or can detract from Him. There are individuals who've lived in such a way. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 24. We'll come back to Galatians 1 in a minute. We'll go down through the text. But just to remind ourselves of a few things, we can live in such a way that we can actually detract from God. I remember Paul's statement in the book of Romans where he talks about the Jews who were living hypocritical lives, and it caused individuals to even blaspheme God. And so it starts in verse 17 of Romans 2, but we'll just pick up the idea. Verse 21, 22, 23, they were telling other people not to live a certain way, and they were living the same way. They were acting hypocritically. And then Romans 2, 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So we can live in such a way that we're hypocritical in our lives, and it actually gives people an occasion to blaspheme God. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, when Paul is talking about wives and mothers, and he says they're to be sober-minded, chaste, or pure, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We can tear down God and His word. We can give an occasion for there to be the tearing down of God and His word by the way that we're living. And of course, we certainly don't want that. Or, and this is what we want to consider this morning, God can actually be glorified by our actions. And that's what we want. We want to say and do things that lead people to God and that want to obey God. We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be worldly. We don't want to simply be a religious person. We want to be more than that. And when people see us, all of our songs this morning and even our invitation song speaks of bringing glory to God. Let us live in such a way that that is the case. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul lived in such a way and said to them that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. When we live among the people of the world and we're not going to be like them, we're not going to act like them, and so we're going to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles or the world, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Chapter 4 and verse 11, when Peter talks about living the Christian life and being a good servant and a good steward, Peter says, if any man ministers, let him minister as of strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If you back up to verse 7, he had been talking about the Christian who has a sound mind and is prayer and fervent in their love and hospitable, verse 9, and ministering and being a good servant and speaking as if God's word was speaking. All of this, Peter says, that in all things God may be glorified. That's how He's glorified, by our daily godly Christian living in these things and other things. We want to live in a way, in our teaching and in our conduct, in our example, where we are bringing glory to God. You know, Jesus did that in His ministry. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8. When Jesus came on the scene, there were religious teachers, but they were detracting from God. When Jesus came on the scene, He brought people to God. He said and did things where people were glorifying God with regard to the healing of the sick of the palsy in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and following. He heals this lame man. When the multitude saw it, they were afraid and glorified God who had given such authority unto men. Look at chapter 15 and verse 31. When Jesus would work miracles, when Jesus would engage in teaching, Matthew 15:31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speaking and the maimed whole and the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus' approach was to say and do things, and there are many other passages that you can see there on the PowerPoint. They all say the same thing, that when Jesus was speaking and when He was teaching and when He was performing miracles and when He gave examples, people glorified God. Are you and I doing that in our lives? Have we obeyed the gospel, for example? Are we living faithfully each day? Are we talking with others? In our Bible class this morning, we were talking about a door open for the Word. Are we talking with others about the Lord? When we do those things, we bring glory to God. It's not about us. And so in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 24, if you'll turn back with me there now, let us look at the life of Paul. Just a snapshot. We're not going to see his entire life. We're not going to look at many things that we could look at, for example, in the book of Acts. There are other things in his epistles that he said. We're just going to take a snapshot here, and we're going to consider what Paul did. He had such an influence and an impact and an effect on others that they glorified God in him. They saw Paul and they're like, wow, to God be the glory. There was such a change in this man's life that they said, wow. We could mention some synonyms for glory. We could mention honor, extol, praise, magnify, build up, whatever synonym we want to use. When we glorify God, we're saying God is the great one for what I am seeing in this Christian. So I raised the question this morning, what effect or influence or impact is your life and my life having on those around us? Paul had such an impact that they are saying, God be the glory. Paul stood out. Paul was different. Paul was righteous and holy and good. He was a faithful Christian. This is what we need to be in the world today. Not because we are standing out by drawing attention to ourselves, hey, look at me, but we are standing out because of our righteous Christian character. And people are seeing that and they're saying, I want to be a Christian like that. I want to talk like that. I want to dress like that. I want to act like that. I want to have what they have. Let us live in such a way that we can do that. We're all having some influence, good or bad. We're all having an impact, good or bad. Let's be like the Apostle Paul. And at the end of the day, when people see us, they say, wow, to God be the glory. Let's look this morning at five things that Paul did to cause God to be glorified. And you're not going to find anywhere in here in Galatians 1 the things that people do today. You're not going to find. We're going to find different things. There's all kinds of things that people do. But you're not going to find those things. You're going to find something different. And we're going to find some things that we need to be having in our life. Let's start with Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. And let's come down through the text. Let's look back through and see what Paul said about his change that brought brethren to glorify God in me. Verse 11, Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, for I make known to you, brethren, as touching the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not after man. For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ. The first thing that we learn about the Apostle Paul, that there was such a change in this man's life that brought glory to God, is he is a man who is willing to be guided by the revelation of Jesus Christ, not what men taught. If you really want to stand out today, be someone who gets up every day and all I do is I follow the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to follow what man teaches. You do that, you'll bring glory to God. Today, it's so much about what man says, what man teaches. What do the scholars say? And what does this person think? And what does that person feel? And let's just go by this and let's just go by that. What's being taught in the universities, or what is being pushed in politics, or what the lawmakers are saying, and this and that. We're going to get up each day, and we're going to be guided by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You do that, you'll stand out. Paul is addressing these false teachers who have come to the churches of Galatia, and they're teaching another gospel. You can read that in chapter 1, 6 through 10. They're teaching something that is not from Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I'm teaching only the words of Jesus Christ. And it was given to me by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have that same one-to-one connection that Paul had with Christ. He was given the words of Christ directly by inspiration through the Holy Spirit. We have our Bibles. We have the inspired Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We have all Scripture that is inspired. And it makes us complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And we're going to get up each day and we're going to be guided by the words of Jesus Christ. Not I think and I feel. Not what society says about a particular topic. But what does the Scripture say? That's what Paul did that got people to glorify God. Anybody can be a person today that just follows what men teaches. Anybody can be like that. We're going to be different. Anybody can stand up and say what the popular idea is about this or that. Anybody can do that. Be different. Follow the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 12. That's why reading our Bibles is so important. That's why being at Bible class is so important, because we're learning what is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So many times today you'll be talking with someone about a particular topic, maybe some moral or ethical topic, and they'll just simply say, well, I think. You say something like, the Scripture says. And when we begin to talk like that, and that's not some haughty attitude, when we begin to talk like that, people begin to be brought back to God and His Word. We're not trying to be haughty. We're trying to bring people back to where they will glorify God and His Word. And so we say, well, the Scripture says. Paul was not just some religious teacher. He was speaking the direct revelation of Jesus Christ. He will say to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 14, the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. We can be different today, and we can bring glory to God if we will get up each day and be guided by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You'll notice there on the PowerPoint that I make the point that Paul was an educated man. He tells us in the book of Acts that he was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. He was very educated. And today, there's a premium that is put on education. And that's fine in some regards. Nothing wrong with that. Not opposed to that. But today, often, there's a premium put on human education and man's education. And notice that Paul was an extremely educated man, but he was guided by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people today say, well, if you just follow the Bible, we follow science. You know, y'all follow the Bible and we follow science. Actually, those two are not in conflict with each other. That's a misnomer. That's been portrayed probably in the past 200 years or so. They're not at odds with each other. But somebody says, well, you Christians, y'all just follow the Bible. We follow science, or we follow what this belief is or that belief. And so it's sort of a put down, you know, that you're just following the Bible. Paul was a very educated man and realized that, yes, I need to follow the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you want to bring glory to God, and if I want to, let us be guided by the revelation of Jesus Christ, not by what men teach on this subject or that subject. One reason why we're in the mess that we're in today is that we're listening to what men teach about this or that. Turn with me to verse 13 of Galatians chapter 1. Paul goes on to say, for you have heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. We're very familiar that he was there at the stoning of Stephen at the end of Acts 7 and the beginning of Acts chapter 8. And we know how that he had gone to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 to get Christians and bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. We know that he was a great persecutor of the church of God and made havoc of it. And I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond many of my own age among my countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Paul was very acquainted with what men teach. He turned from that. He left that behind, what men teach, the traditions of my fathers, and was willing to be guided by the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. The second thing that we learn about the apostle Paul that caused people to glorify God was his conversion and his change. He was a religious man. He tells us that in verse 13 and 14. Very religious. And he wasn't a mediocre, lukewarm, half-hearted religious person like many people are today. He was zealous in that Jewish religion. He tells us that also in Philippians 3, 5 and following, how zealous he was. Zealous for the law. As persecuting the church, zealous. Look at verse 15. But, when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me. Paul was a religious man who was converted to Christ by God's grace. And if you will allow yourself to do that, you will be someone whom God can look at you and give glory to God. If we're here this morning and we have not been converted to Christ, and we have not put him on in baptism, and we're at a point in our life when we need to do that, now's the time to do that. That's how you really bring glory to God. You become a Christian. Paul had a very meaningful life, but he was lost. And when he went to Damascus, Jesus appears to him and tells him to go into Damascus, and there it will be told you what you must do. And Ananias tells him to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And when he does that, people bring glory to God that this kind of a man can be changed by the gospel. Have you ever known of anybody that's become a Christian that had a pretty dirty, nasty life prior to becoming a Christian? I would say the majority of people that I know that have become Christians have lived a pretty decent life. But every once in a while, I'll hear about a person that's just, we would say, just a worldly life. I know of a gospel preacher right now that regularly did drugs in the 70s before he was converted. He was a druggie. In fact, he and I are close friends today. In fact, he confides in me and says, Chris, I think I'm struggling now as an older person mentally because of the drugs that I did back in the 70s. I think it really ate up my brain. And he did other things that I would not mention in a mixed audience, but you can imagine. That man was converted to Christ. And today is a faithful gospel preacher. You look at Paul, and I think of Romans 1:16 that he wrote from his own pen, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, the power to change Paul, a grievous persecutor. He wanted Christians to die. Read the verse again. I made havoc of the church. He was a troublemaker. And yet he's completely changed. You want to give glory to God? Be a completely changed person. Come and obey the gospel. God's grace, verse 15, extends to even people who are gross, immoral sinners. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, where Paul talks about such were some of you. He mentions homosexuals and thieves and covetousness and extortioners and adulterers. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified. The grossly immoral Corinthians came to Christ. And if someone will just simply come to Christ, that is the way. If you want attention today, you want attention, you want some likes, be converted. You'll get some likes. You'll show the world that there still is a Savior, there still is a gospel, there still is a God. Today, it is so secular. We want to keep God way off to the side. Don't ever bring Him up. It's all about me. We're learning this morning how we can get God back at the center of the picture, at least in our life, if not in the world around us, at least in our life. To God be the glory. We sang this morning. This is how it's done. Look with me at verse 16. After Paul talks about his conversion, he says, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. The third thing that Paul did was he was a zealous man who told others about Jesus Christ. We live in a time frame where we are so blessed with the ease of communication. Let's use that to reveal Jesus Christ in me. To take our opportunities to reveal Jesus Christ in me. What we say and what we do, we are revealing Jesus in us. And Paul was willing to do that even in the face of great persecution and opposition. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6, one of several places where Paul talks about the difficult life he lived because he was simply telling others about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning that as you begin to do that, there are going to be places where people are not going to like that. But you continue to reveal Jesus Christ to others, even in those times when time and place when those things are difficult. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul says, but in everything commending ourselves as ministers of God. It's not about us. We're simply God's servants. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes. He was physically beaten. At least we don't have to undergo that today, at least not right now. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. There were things that emotionally hurt Paul where he would fast over it with not eat for a while. And he was watching. He was concerned about his life and the lives of the brethren in pureness, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in love unfeigned. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report. There were times when people said very bad and untrue things about Paul. As deceivers, people say that we're deceivers, and we're not, and yet true. As unknown, that is, among the world, and yet well known, being a faithful Christian among brethren. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened, and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich through Christ, the spiritual riches. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Yeah, it's going to be difficult from time to time to reveal Christ to others. But people saw that change in Paul. And they saw that he was willing to undergo that kind of a life. And they glorified God. Let that be the same with us. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16, when Paul talks about his conversion and his preaching, he says straightway, Galatians 1:16, or immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia, and again I returned unto Damascus. The fourth thing that Paul did to bring glory to God was he was a person who was willing to stand on his own two spiritual feet, and he didn't need anybody's approval. And that's what he's saying here. If you back up to chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through man, origin and agency, but through Jesus Christ, the God and Father who raised him from the dead. If you jump down to verse 10, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. He's saying in these verses that I got my revelation from Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. He was inspired. I did not go somewhere and need someone's approval to be right with God. And so in verse 17, when he says, I conferred not with flesh and blood and I didn't go up to Jerusalem, he's not saying, I'm not a team player and I don't get along well with other brethren. I'm kind of a hermit and a recluse. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I got my revelation from Jesus Christ. I don't need somebody else to give their stamp of approval on me. In fact, if you read chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, you find that when he goes to Jerusalem, he gives the brethren the right hand of fellowship. He's very much a part of working together with other brethren. He's making the point here, I don't need man's approval to be right with God. And so the point would simply be this, and it's something that is very important for us to remember today, that Paul was an independent man. And he acted by what was right, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and did not need anybody's approval. And that is such a problem today, brother. If you want to stand out and be glorifying God, do what is right based upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, not do I get so-and-so's approval? Does someone like me? Am I in their group? Stand for what is right because you're following the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't need somebody's vote of approval. And yet today, that's exactly what it's all about. I can't act until somebody gives me permission to act. I'm not right unless I can get a group of people to agree with me. He went away. And in verse 17, when he went unto Arabia, this is probably the time period where he's receiving the direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Before he went there, he immediately was preaching Jesus in Acts chapter 9, right in Damascus. He didn't need someone's approval. All he needed was God's approval. And so, in verse 1, I didn't get my message from man. And in verse 10, I'm not trying to please people. And yet that's exactly what goes on today. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If we want to bring glory to God, let's stand on our own two spiritual feet. We don't need brother so-and-so's approval. We don't need sister so-and-so's approval. We don't need to match up with this particular group or that particular group. We need to follow the words of Jesus Christ. Today, it's so much about pleasing men, pleasing individuals around us. And Paul was not going to do that. He started his life that way, and he carried on his entire life like that. Let's look at another example of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6, talking about how that Paul had been preaching at Philippi in Acts 16, and then he came to Thessalonica in Acts 17. For our exhortation, verse 3, is not of error, nor uncleanness, nor in guile. But even as we have been approved of God. Underscore that right there. That's all that matters, brother. Am I living the God-approved life? Approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men. And we could take off and have an entire lesson on that, how we can do that, going along with what they say, how cowing to what they say, getting their vote on this or that. Just stand for truth. Not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. That's what's important. For neither at any time were we found using words of flattery, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor seeking glory of men. That's the whole point. They glorified God in Paul. Why? Because God was glorified in Paul. Paul was not going to glory in men or bring glory to himself, nor seeking the glory of men, neither from you nor from others, when we might have claimed authority as apostles of Christ. And he goes on to give some other characteristics of his preaching. Brethren, we bring glory to God when each and every day we just simply do what's approved of God and not worry about getting the approval of the people in the world around me. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's not something we would hope would happen, but sometimes that's even the case with, we don't need the approval, maybe even of our own brethren. If we're following the truth of Scripture, that's all that matters. We're approved of God. So I just wanted you to notice that God was glorified through Paul, because immediately upon his conversion, he did not go away in order to confer with flesh and blood, what do y'all think I should be teaching? What should I be saying? How should I be acting? He just simply got his directive from God. And that's the way we need to be today. And then last of all, turn with me to chapter 1 and verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, or Peter, the Apostle Peter, and tarried with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. That's that same point that I've been making. I didn't feel like I had to go be with all the apostles and get everybody's okay about all of this. There were some that I didn't even see. It's a part of his defense of his apostleship. Now touching the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. That's all that matters, my standing before God. Then I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they only heard say, he that once persecuted us now preaches the faith of which he once made havoc. Paul was a changed man, with the reputation of leaving behind the old way of life. This man who once persecuted us, that's very personal, he's now preaching the faith of which he once made havoc. You want to bring glory to God each and every day? Live completely changed from the world. Not acting like the world, not being just like them in our talk and dress and activities, but being completely different. He was once this, now he's completely different, and he's this. That's how you bring glory to God. And he would later write in such passages as Ephesians 4, 17 and following, and Colossians 3, 5 and following, a passage that we've just recently studied in our adult class, to put off that old man and put on the new man. Let's live a completely changed life. We're not simply going to get wet in baptism. We're not just simply going to go through some motions at a building, but we're going to live a completely different life.
And Jeff has been guiding and Phil in that study of Colossians where we're talking about Christians. Christians need to make some changes. Christians need to put off some things. It's an inventory list that all of us, myself included, would do well to read on a regular basis. This is an inventory of things I need to make sure is not in my life. Because sometimes those things can creep back in. And I want to be completely changed, and when I am, people will bring glory to God. Well, I'll close with the way that I began. What effect, influence, or impact is your life having on others? Is my life having on others? Let's be living in such a way that when somebody looks at Chris or Daniel or any one of us here, Alan, Bob, and they glorified God in me. Let that be what is said. And if that's not the case this morning, let's make those changes. If it is being baptized into Christ, let's make that change. If it is, as a Christian, living better. But let it be said, and they glorified God in me. Because that's what it's about. We live in a culture that is elevating ourselves. Hey, look at me. I wanted to remind us this morning that it's about glorifying God. And I appreciate Phil singing those songs. And we have one more song. And it's about coming and being cleansed of sin. And if we can help you to do that this morning, you will give glory to God by doing that. Let us help you to do that as we stand and sing, Why Won't You Come?